Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. I have a very special visitor, or guest, I should say, with me today, Blossom Goodchild, which is a name that will be familiar to many people through the message she received announcing the minimum 3-day sighting of a UFO placed over the southern hemisphere, which I believe is reference to the United States. I'm not totally sure about that, but we'll get Blossom to clarify that if she can. What I would like to tell you is that as a pre-recording, which is happening now on the 1st of September and will be programmed out on the 19th of September, you have to bear in mind that perhaps one or two things that are in our conversation might not have some bearing on what happens in the meantime, so make allowances for that. So, are you there, Blossom?
I am indeed. Good morning. Well, it's my morning. I believe it's your evening, Mike, is it?
It is, and of course it's just past midday for most of the people in the States, so we've got a collection of people listening, and of course some, regrettably, are still fast asleep. Anyway.
Absolutely.
What I want to do, Blossom, is to talk a bit about you, how you got started and how things developed. And there will be ample time, I would think, in what I would call the second half of the program to talk about the message and any other matters related to it. But firstly, let me tell our listeners that you live in Noosa in Australia and you live with your husband and son.
That's
now.
Right.
Your husband is called Goody,
yes.
And it's not unreasonable to assume that he's Goody because he's Goody Goodchild. So I have to...
That's absolutely correct.
Anyway, what I wanted to say on that note is the only time I've ever heard that name was a friend who had a rabbit called Goody. So I wondered if your husband is also fluffy and cuddly.
He is indeed, and it's quite funny because some people relate the name of Blossom to being a cow, so between the two of us,
it's a lovely name. Now, is there a slight time lapse between my talking and your hearing it?
And I think that there might be a little one.
Right.
I can hear you okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, indeed. I can hear you great. All right, let's get cracking on to what you're all about.
Okay.
Obviously, I've read up on your website, and I'm aware that for what must be 9 years now, you've been working with a spirit called White Cloud, because you started in 1999. Now, you tell us that that was after a long illness, and I believe that that had in some way some bearing on what happened afterwards. Would you like to tell us about that, how that sort of affected your future? Right, your turn.
Absolutely. off I go. For about 17 years, I had an illness, we didn't know what else to call it at the time, where it started when I was about 19, and at first they were called anxiety attacks, and then they changed into something else. But basically it was that I would have a series of symptoms that built up, feeling sick, etc., and then I would fall on the floor, and I didn't black out or anything, but people around me would ask, you know, are you all right, Blossom, are you all right? And I was fine, but I couldn't actually move any part of my body or speak. I wasn't looking down on myself, but where I was on the floor was I was in a very nice space, is all I can say, really. And they would last for about maybe sometimes quarter of an hour, 20 minutes at a time. This went on for 17 years, as I say, not the whole, the one bit, but I had a series of many of them over months, and then I would literally be all right again. for a good few months, and then it seemed to come back, and I would have a series of maybe another 5 weeks of perhaps two or three of these a day at times. And I went to, I went everywhere, Mike. I went to psychiatrists, I went and had brain scans, I was tested for epilepsy. I had all sorts of tests trying to find out what this was all about, and nobody could get to the bottom of it at all. And then about sort of toward after 17 years of it, I was very interested in the spiritual movement, had been for about 20 years, and really didn't know anybody that was the same, that was interested in the same things as me. So I just used to read books and have that as my sort of soul food. And I met a lady who was staying with us, who was a very gifted clairvoyant. And during, if I could just say, during the last few years of that, I had done a little bit of healing. And when I say a little bit, I mean maybe three times a year or something. And yeah. I was aware of a Native American that was standing behind me during these times. And I did ask once, I said, could I know your name? And the name White Cloud came through as clear as day. So that's literally the only sort of bit of how I knew that he was around or anything about him. And when this lady was staying with us and I was having another spate of my illnesses, she said to me, Blossom, I've got this Indian with me and he won't go away. And he's asking if you will get a pen and paper because he wants to communicate with you. And at that time, I didn't think, oh, that's very strange, because I was very much into the spiritual movement, as I said. So I sat down with a piece of paper, and I was very depressed at the time because nobody could find out what this illness was, and it really was, you know, interfering, as you can imagine, with parts of my life. So I sat down and I started writing. I still have the book today. I started writing saying, well, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing or what you want me to say. And then literally, Mike, I didn't hear a voice or anything, but this, just telepathically, I wrote three pages, full scat pages, saying, from him, just saying that we had agreed to do this many moons ago, and that if I was still agreeable, then he wished to speak through me. And if I was still up for it, then would I arrange a meeting? And he asked of 12 people to be there, and just to trust, and that he would speak through me. And I'd meditated a little, but I'd certainly never done anything like that at all. So I arranged, and it didn't feel bizarre, it just felt natural, really. So I arranged a meeting, and off we went, and I asked for the light and the protection around us, and found myself breathing very deeply, and my body was shuddering, and of course I wasn't frightened, because I've protected myself, and I just let the process happen. And when he was ready, is all I can say, I opened my mouth, and sort of knowing the first sentence that he wanted to say, I would imagine, and I can't even remember what it was, and he spoke through me in a very, very deep male voice with a broken accent, very strange as it sounds, and he spoke for 3/4 of an hour, and that was the beginnings of my channelings with
right.
him. When it was over, I have to say, I sat there with my husband, and when everybody had gone home, we had a cup of tea and watched telly. I didn't sit there going, my God, or it just seemed that, all I can say is it seemed that it was meant to be, really.
Yeah. Well, they say in life there is no such thing as a coincidence, so subconsciously you must at least have acknowledged what was taking place because it was planned.
Absolutely, and what I always forget to say when I'm talking about this is the most important thing, that from that day when I wrote in that book, my illness went away, and I had never, and that was 9 years ago, I had never had an attack since. And I have, we have asked White Cloud about that over the years. And he said, you know, that the doctors would laugh if they really knew what was going on with my body during that time, because he says that basically what was happening was, A, there was a huge build-up of energy, which would sort of fuse me out, really, is how he described it. But also during that time, it was that they were changing my energy and my body to prepare me for what I was going to be doing.
Yes.
And I can go with that. I can accept that because, you know, because literally I had gone everywhere and, you know, done everything I could to try and find out what the problem was, and, you know, that just nothing showed up, you know. And yet literally, Mike, when I would fall over and somebody called an ambulance, but not knowing the situation, that I'd be all right in 20 minutes, you know, I could literally hear the ambulance people panic because they couldn't get my pulse, and they were going, you know, they were trying to sort of say, you know, blossom, blossom. And I could hear the panic in their voice because apparently I would turn very grey as well. So it obviously didn't look very good from an outsider's point of view. But in lying there, as I say, I was in such a peaceful place, you know. So that was the beginnings of how it all began. And he did say when he first came through that he wished me to get to record the meetings that I did, because he would like that they would become a book. And I mean, I'd never considered writing a book, and you know, bless him, through series of meetings that we've had throughout the years, and here in Noosa, you know, there's actually three books that I've written on White Cloud's behalf, which contains all the questions that people have asked him, and just his words of wisdom. I mean, I think that's the main thing that people we love so much, is that the wisdom that comes through is just, it has taught me, my family, my friends, and all the people that come to the meetings, it has just sort of taught us a different way to look at life and to behave in life and in a way to accept other people for who they are, accept. And he talks in metaphors all the time, most of the time, and then goes on from there. So that's what's, I think, so beautiful about it, is that people say they might be having a bad day or they've got an issue they need to deal with, and they actually can open his book, especially his first book, which is called Walking in the Light of the Love, because it's got, it's full of metaphors, and the page seems to open on a metaphor that happens to be suitable for their issue that they're dealing with at the time. So, you know, he's an incredible energy, and I've certainly never come across such a being of such love and compassion, really. I mean, he has grown men in tears because he's just so compassionate and so just understanding, and obviously from a much higher place in his soul than those of us who are residing upon the earth plane at the moment, I would say.
Yes. Now, you've been intimated there that White Cloud takes you over for the purpose of giving the messages through you. And am I correct in believing that the same thing happens when you give private readings?
Yes. For private readings, which I have to be honest, I know that some readers are able to do 5 readings a day or 5 days a week and things like that. For me, that's not the case at all. I do very few readings, you know, maybe sort of sometimes 3-4 a month, and that had been quite a maximum amount, purely, I think, Mike, because of the energy that is involved when I channel. Because although I believe in the old days when people channeled, they used to have to lock the doors and nobody could drop a pin because it was very, very dangerous.
And That's right,
I believe a lot of people don't these days, as far as I'm aware, I certainly, isn't the case with me. I mean, I've had people leave their mobile phones on and things that have gone off and things. Because, it is quite draining, and you do have to, concentrate a lot with any, you know, any sound. It can be very, can affect the link, I think, is what I'm trying to say. But when I'm channeling, it's not like in the old days or that some people may do now, in that I leave my body, because I'm in my body still. I stay in the left-hand side, and White Cloud, or indeed whoever is popping in for a cup of tea that day, comes into the right-hand side of my brain. And somehow, it's so difficult to explain, somehow we meet in the middle. And so what White Cloud needs to say, I have to sort of, it's so difficult, know what he's going to say the nanosecond before he says it. And sometimes I think he might be going to, for instance, to say car, and he would turn it into automobile right at the last second. Well, I don't understand why and all that sort of thing. But I sort of, as I say, I work with him, and I am definitely present, and we work together. So he would say, I am saying to Blossom, whatever it is he's about to say. So that after the reading or the channeling in the meeting, I am aware of everything that he has said and what has been going on. And sometimes when he's brought new information through, which to me, you know, I've never even thought of that concept, perhaps, you know, about before it's about to come through, I'm like saying to him, "Are you sure? Are you sure about this?" Because it sounds, you know, to me, it might be such a new concept, and I haven't had time to think about what I particularly think about it. And I think that is a beautiful thing about White Cloud, is that he says, if there is anything he says that does not sit well with inside of you, then don't feel you have to take it on, because he is only interested in the fact that you find your truth within yourself. And just because you've heard something from somebody else doesn't mean that it's a truth for you. And he implores people to look into their soul, to find what is their truth and what sits well for them. And for me, that works really well, because I was brought up as a Catholic and went to a boarding school convent, and my father, bless him, who has now gone on to other happier realms in paradise, was a very strict Catholic, and he went to church every day of his life. So he found what I did to be rather difficult, should we say, to say the least. But in his, he came out to Australia. He was diagnosed with cancer and was given 3 months to live. And he came out, we managed to get him out to Australia, and he lived for an extra 13 months, which was just fantastic. And within that time was able to discuss with me all matters spiritual, and indeed because of his indoctrination through his religion, that's all he knew. And if I could just say quickly, which is just a lovely story, over a year ago I was doing I do a little presentation called Love, Light and Laughter, in which I talk as myself for the first half, although I sort of know I'm getting help from above, and then in the second half I do the channeling. And it was the first one I'd done, and it was in our local theatre, and I was very nervous. And afterwards a clairvoyant lady came up to me and said that she'd seen a gentleman in the wings who was in a blue suit, and my father always looked so smart in his beautiful blue suit, and he was saying that he was very proud of me, and that he understood everything now, and that he'd met White Cloud, and that he was and then she said to me that he gave me the name of John, which was my father's name, and that for me was really lovely, because I know that sometimes it was quite difficult when he was here on the earth plane to understand what my work was about and where I was coming from, and so to get that message that he understood, that was really you know, very touching to my soul, obviously.
Yeah, well, that certainly is a wonderful story. Yeah, that's very nice to hear that one. Now, just getting back to your channeling, do I interpret your comments, as I've read them on the site, to indicate that when you take the messages, they come into your head, but when you do the readings and White Cloud takes you over, you actually get a picture in your head instead.
Yes, basically. What happens is when they, say if somebody came in for a reading, we'd tune in, and I always say, I think it's imperative for anybody to protect themselves and ask to be in the light. And then he gets people to put their hands on top of mine, and he takes three very deep breaths. And I presume during that time he's picking up on their energy. And then he says thank you very much and removes his hands, and then I just wait, as you say, for a picture. Now that picture could be, let me think of something. For some reason right now, I have no idea, I'm thinking of a tractor. Now I could see that tractor, so he would say, I am showing to Blossom the image of a tractor. And it might be that my focus in that picture would go to one of the wheels that needed pumping up. Perhaps, I know that sounds obscure, but this is how it works. So he would say, I'm taking Blossom to one of the wheels, and she can see that there is a tear. Now, from that story, it would then just go on, literally, like that. And it might go on that the tractor's ploughing the fields. This isn't making sense at all because I'm making it up, but it's ploughing the fields and just go into this huge story. And for me, I'm just following the story and the visions that he's giving me and saying what he's asking me what I believe he's asking me to say. Whereas for that person that's sitting in the chair, they can relate that whole metaphor into what is happening in their life or has happened in their life at the time. And he might keep the whole reading on that particular story, and it elaborates indeed to a huge chapter, or he will sort of then finish up on that story, and there'll be a little pause, and then he'll say, I am now giving to Blossom the image of a tree, and go off on a whole thing like that. So there's different sort of scenarios that he may talk about. And it's quite interesting how he will always somehow, which I find to be so clever, have a little, I'm not very good with words, a thing that they can relate to. So for instance, if he was giving a story to somebody about, he'd say, I'm showing to Blossom a bowl of, I remember particularly one lady, and he was saying, I'm showing to Blossom a bowl of muesli, and she is seeing that you are picking up all the raisins in that bowl and putting them in a pile on the side. And he then went on to this whole story about it. And basically, I think what it was saying was that there was something going on with her, and there was something within her life that needed to be taken out in order for it to work well for her, really. And at the end, she said to me she couldn't believe that had been said, because she loves muesli, but she doesn't like the raisins, so she always picks the raisins out. And time and time again, when he uses little things like that, I think just to make, you know, it's more important, obviously, the story that he's, you know, the message he's giving across to them, obviously, but it's just the way he's able to make them feel at ease and make them smile by putting in something that they can recognize and be familiar with, really. And also, you know, if I can say at this point regarding my readings, in the old days, it was just literally White Cloud. And when we first used to work together, he spoke in a much, much deeper voice. And I couldn't, when I say I couldn't move, we didn't open the eyes, and my hand stayed on the chair, and it was very like that. Whereas now, 9 years later, it's a different story altogether. His voice has come up quite a few tones to sort of blend in more with mine. He speaks 10 times faster than we used to do originally. He's opened his eyes, which is quite a phenomenal thing for him, me, and the people at the meeting who are there, because he says, you know, the eyes are clearly the windows to the soul. So when he's actually done that, he can't sort of just open my eyes and look directly at people, because I think he says it takes him a while, and I certainly feel that within my body, to adjust to the vibration down here. So my body does a few funny little judderings and things as he's trying to bring his eye level from my eyes being right up in my head when I open them to sort of coming down and then looking into people's eyes. And inevitably, Mike, people, when he looks into people's eyes, I being in the left-hand side and being aware, it's a very strange thing of what's going on, just watch people just dissolve because of the love that he's bringing through my eyes into their souls when he looks at other people. So he's progressed enormously, and we have, in the way that we are able to work together. And he's got a, you know, with as much as we are all in great respect, and I am in great respect of him, he also has an amazing sense of humor. I mean, he has people on the floor laughing because he just comes out with these funny little things, and it just, that's what's so lovely. It just lightens everything up, because that's what he teaches us as well, is to lighten up, because we all take things very, very seriously. And you know, he's very much one for saying laugh as much as you can, because laughter,
yes,
is helps so much to raise the vibration on the planet. So he's, so within that, that sort of has been how we've learned to work together. But about, I think probably about 4 or 5 years ago, it came about that I was doing a meeting, and I was losing the link with him, and I was like, what's going on? What's the baby? What's going on? And then my breathing started changing, and I started breathing very deeply and very rapidly, and my body was tensing up, and I just felt this change of energy. And I really, of course, again, I always knew White Cloud to be my gatekeeper, so I wasn't at all scared. I was just confused as to what was going on. And as ridiculous my position may sound, I felt as if my neck was growing, and my arms were growing really long. And I literally, the only way I can describe it, is that I felt like I felt very much like that being in Close Encounters that comes out of the ship at the end of that. I just felt very, I hate to use the term alien, because I don't think that's a very appropriate word that we use, very star-like being, I would say. And I thought, it was a beautiful feeling at the same time. And then suddenly, and if anybody knows me, they know me in maths and anything like figures or anything like that, absolutely have no idea with. But in the center of my forehead, all I can say is I saw 1,000 equations just like on a computer whizzing through my head. And I assume from that now that they were working out how to speak through me. And my language, that's all I can say. And I remember thinking, saying to them, from my left side over to my right, what do you want to say? And I got the word welcome, and I thought, well, here we go, in for a penny, in for a pound. So I opened my mouth, and the most bizarre voice came out. It was very high-pitched. I'll do a little bit if I can. It was a bit like, welcome, like this. And I was like, oh, dear, 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 dear. Oh, and they then, in a very slow, very slow to get the words out, it took me so long to say one word, channeled through me. And after that particular meeting, I was a bit blown away, because in all honesty, up until that point, I certainly believed and knew of life on other planets, not knew, but just believed in life elsewhere outside of this planet, because to me, there just had to be. But in all honesty, I've never really gone into great depth about it. And so after this particular evening, I had to think everything through greatly, because they were so full of love when they came through that I realized that, you know, extraterrestrials are actually, for the first time I realized they were higher beings, and, you know, beings of love that were way beyond our knowing. And so it opened up a whole new world for me that night. And then, can I say, from then on, you know, years and years later, I've had all sorts pop in. And apparently that I was chosen to be able to be the vessel, to be able to do this. It's just been an absolutely fascinating journey, because when the energy white cloud always comes in first, but then when the energy changes, I never know from one minute to the next who it's going to be. And this is now takes place in readings, whereas somebody will come, luckily another being comes in more or less straight away, which really helps now, rather than coming in halfway through. But another being will come in who is relevant to that soul that comes for the reading. So it might be their guide, or these, you know, the last few years it's been, which we might get into perhaps later, it's been, want of a better word, cosmic beings that they zap these people. That's the only word I know to use, is they, this, all this energy comes into me, sometimes through my fingers. And then they ask me to put my fingers onto either their forehead or onto their fingers. And this energy surge, my whole body shakes and it's all very, very odd, goes through to them, and I am being told, and they totally accept that they are being given, White Cloud puts it as an envelope that has instructions inside, but it's sealed at the moment. And when the time comes, it's as if the envelope will be opened, and inside will be all the information and the instructions, and, you know, as funny as this word may sound, orders, so that they will know what to do at the appropriate time. That goes into probably what we're going to be talking about regarding future days. But, you know, for me, when all this started happening, I'm just a normal person. I know others may not agree, but I am a normal person like anybody else. So when all this was happening, I found it really, you know, I had to then go away and really think about it all, because, you know, it's so bizarre in many aspects of itself, and yet the people that are there in the reading, they're full on in agreement and totally in acceptance of what is taking place for them, and they're very emotional, because they sort of just knew it, if you see what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll let you say something, Mike.
Yeah, that's excellent. No, you're the guest, not me. I must refer now to your message from the Federation of Light. It read that it shall be in the south of your hemisphere, and it shall scan over many of your states. So I've come to the conclusion that since it is a craft, as they said, of great size, that it will undoubtedly be at a particular height if it is able to be seen from many states. So although you've given the name Alabama, which maybe is simply an indication that the sighting will be over America, not Australia, which is where you are, I think that may be an explanation. What the name otherwise means, I haven't any idea, and I doubt whether you have. Now, a bit later in the message, they did say, until we can prove to you that we come in love, we will not allow the fullness of our visits to be uncovered. Know of this. This is the beginning, not the end. Now, that's very important to know as well. Now, I did say at the start of the program, when we spoke about your message, I did notice, and we must bear this in mind, that the craft is going to be there for a minimum of 3 days, and not just 3 days.
Yeah.
So I think that's also quite exciting.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether you know this, but I heard just this, the latter part of this week, that someone else has also confirmed the sighting for that date, a lady called Jennifer Hoffman. So just to my knowledge, I think including your message and one that came through myself, I think that makes actually four different sources that have confirmed it. Now, what I want to come on to is what appears to be a later message. The one that was spoken to you by starting off and telling you that all is in order, dear lady, and saying that they were slightly concerned that many of our race are still unaware of what is happening and are worried about the shock to their system and the damage that it may cause them. And it went on to say that they wish no harm to anyone. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, bearing in mind the early contact you had with ETs, do you think or do you know for certain whether the present 14th of October message has come through the same people, which I notice are called the Friendships? Have you any feelings about that?
Yeah, no. I see what you're saying. What, if I could just explain, the Friendships are the beings that we called, the beings that came through the meetings. What actually happened regarding the Federation of Light was, a few years ago, I went for a reading with a lady, a clairvoyant, and she said to me that, they wanted me to get on with another, that Spirit wanted me to get on with another book, and she, a new book, and she said, but this won't be White Cloud, this will be, they're asking you to sit at your computer, and she actually said, for want of a better word, they will be White Cloud's bosses, is what she said. And they're asking you to sit at your computer every day for half an hour in the morning, and they will channel through you. So I literally, the next day was my birthday, and I sat at my computer, and I started not knowing, obviously protecting myself, but not knowing at all, really, who was, what was going to take place and what was it about. So this, the Federation of Light, came through in this way. So although I channel other cosmic beings and verbally, the actual book, The Bridge, that, I was asked to write, is from the Federation, literally is telepathic through to me as I'm writing on the computer. And this was very different way for me. I had for the year that I wrote that book with them, it was a real, I had a lot of questions and a lot of doubting within myself because it was telepathic, and it was a very new way for me. But because of the response, to cut it all short, because of the response that book got for people's hearts, the Federation asked me then to start another one, which I did do, and that is when, during the process of that, the next book, that the Federation gave this message to me. And, so they are not what I call the Friendships, and it's very, it's so huge, isn't it, Mike? The whole thing is so huge that, you know, the people that channel through to, the beings that channel through to me, I've never said we are the Galactic Federation. They said we are the Federation of Light.
Yeah.
And I believe the Federation of Light, and I really don't know an awful lot, to be honest, and I'm sure a lot of people out there know a lot more than I do on this matter, but I believe the Federation of Light to be a vast, vast club, if you like. And so I believe there are all sorts of beings who are part of it. I know other people to channel Ashtar, and I know of the Ashtar Command. I don't know a great deal about it, but as far as I am aware, I don't channel Ashtar. So when this message came through, it was a huge shock to me. And when I was looking back through the last book, which is Snapshot, which we've got out now so people can read as an ebook, I looked back in February and when we were editing it, and it said, we are going to ask of you, Blossom, a task so huge you will question your credibility. And I'd forgotten that they'd even put that. So that really rang true to me because I thought, you're absolutely right. This is very huge. Because I never, ever saw this coming, Mike. I never, ever, and even now, I'm still blown away by the fact that I had to press that button and send that message out. That my soul knew I had to do that, and the response that that message has got, it just thrills my soul, because, as you say, many, I think there's been four different channels now that have confirmed that date, which people have sent on to me. So it's very exciting. And you know, they say a lot of people assume they're going to be in Alabama, but they don't actually say that. They say, we give the name Alabama. People have asked me if I'll ask them where they're going to show up, and they seem to be keeping stum about that. And I just trust that they, because I have to, that they have their reasons, not to say where it's going to be.
Right. Awesome. We've got a little while left, because I have to close the program about 5 minutes before the hour. What I think is important at this point is you're mentioning your books. You have written, I believe, three based on White Cloud's messages, and recently a fourth one. Give people the website address and tell them briefly how they may obtain your books, because obviously there are going to be a lot of people interested in that. So perhaps you'd go ahead and do that.
Yep, sure. My website is www.lostandgoodchild.com. So they can get, and all the information that they need to know, they can get my books via PayPal on the site. But also, really, to say that I am updating my channeling from the Federation as often as they come through in these days leading up to October the 14th, so that any information that they need to get can be got. I've got started a new page called October the 14th, and the channeling is on that page, so they might be able to find more that they're looking for by going to my website.
Now, I went on to your website today, and I didn't actually see a page for 14th of October, beyond the fact that you had the message there. Or is that one and the same?
If you go, down the side, there's the menu, and there's a heading called Federation of Light. Yeah. And if you put your mouse on the Federation of Light heading, it comes up with two separate things. One is the October the 14th, and then underneath that is the channelings. And that is that's sort of gone up in this last week, Mike, but due to popular demand. So that is there for people now to read all the letters that people have sent in, plus, as I say, put on all the recent channelings since I channeled that message and sent it out.
Does that also include the reference to your ebook that you mentioned? Is that on the same page?
No, the ebook is now there. The information for that is on the books page. And that, as we say, we got out as quickly as possible, purely because it seemed appropriate to do so, because it was all the lead up after the bridge, which they say was to prepare the soul, and then the ebook called Snapshot was a lead up as they brought this message through to me and asked me to get it out to the world, which seems to be happening, which is just fantastic.
Now, I guess this must have come after the message came out. Because in the extract I'm reading from your website, it intimates that the whole thing is in accordance with divine law, and that is the reason they have set their date of arrival, and they are trusting that you send it out, to the people of the earth. So I think it's interesting to know that these people are divinely directed. And they're not some lesser beings who have come here for any other, perhaps even ulterior motive.
Absolutely, Mike. I think, a lot of people have written to me saying, you know, how do we know, do you know that these beings are from the light, and how, you know, all these things. And for me, in my heart, I feel that this occurrence is going to take place, it, as they say, is going to rock the world, because they are beings of great love. And they say they are just going to be there because that will be enough for the time they are there. There'll be no contact at this particular stage. They will just present themselves wherever it may be. And I don't know whether they might move to somewhere else and be visible there for a while. None of us really know how it's going to be and how it's going to affect. But I think the main message that they ask people to spread around is the fact that they come in love. They are not coming to destroy. Hello, Mike.
We're back together again. Don't think someone was interfering with the line and possibly intentionally cut you off. Anyway, we can expect that. There are people who don't want this knowledge to be given out. I noticed a bit later in the message, they said, and this is another point of why they are here, they said there's no more hiding of this great truth, that is about the light, and I think about our friends from these higher realms.
Yes. Definitely. I feel, you know, there are so many people who are still asleep on the earth plane, and I think this is why they're coming, is because they feel that it's time for us all to wake up, and there are many of us who are awake, and I think that we've sort of come down here at this time to assist those who are asleep to wake up, because there is so much love within us all. And so many people just don't, are too afraid, I think, to find it. And I think that's why they're coming to show, as cliche as it sounds, I feel they are coming to show us the way, to lead us into this higher, newer vibration. I mean, you know, obviously, we haven't got time to go into regarding 2012 and the Mayan calendar. Yes. We are moving so quickly into that time. And to me, this is why they're coming at this time. They can't leave it any later. And they say that they need to come now because they have to intervene in order for our world. I really do feel, Mike, that they are coming to literally save our planet, because when you look around you, there's a lot that needs changing for us to get back into the love that we truly are.
I think you're absolutely right there. They've come to save the planet and the people on the Earth if they're prepared to react and take notice of the message they have. I'm glad to hear you mention 2012, because I think there are a lot of people, including myself, who do believe that is the end of the cycle, and there will be a process of ascension for those who are ready.
Yes, yes. White Cloud talks a lot about this. You know, he's talked to us about it. But I think that the main thing, I think, is for people to let go of their fear. And especially in the days ahead, when these ships are going to be presenting themselves to us to show us the way, if we let go of fear so that we can accept it. Because we, you know, as you know, we've been indoctrinated with fear regarding extraterrestrials and UFOs. And the seeds of fear have been planted in us for so long, so that when this time comes, we will be fearful. And that's what they're saying. Let go of all that indoctrination. And just, they say that the vibration they're bringing through on this ship on the 14th, if people stop and just breathe and listen to their soul, they will pick up on the vibration that they are bringing through, and they will feel the peace and the truth of who they are. And through that truth, they will know that they are doing nothing other than coming to bring us love and to bring us into a new world.
Yes. I like the expression they used when they asked us to recall, and they used the term light-heartedness, and they said, be of bright and cheery dispositions, dear ones. This is not a terrible thing that is to take place. No. It is the opposite. It is of the utmost importance to your species as a whole, for the betterment of it, and so forth, and it's something to celebrate.
Yes. You know, this, I think as well, you know, people have to, a lot of people, the support, can I just, for anybody listening, the support and encouragement I've been given over this last month since sending out that message has just blown me away. It's just been beautiful. But I think a strong factor is that many people have written just saying they've dreamt of this for so long, and they just, they can't wait for this because they've just known of this within their heart, and they're so excited about it. And I think that is the thing that it is going to bring with it a great excitement. And as long as the fear can be dispelled, then it is going to set off a whole chain of events that is going to change our world for the better. And as I say, you know, that's a whole thing. We've got to understand that we were created of love, and we've just lost that over eons of time through all different, you know, we can't go into all that, but that is essentially who we are. We are light of heart. And, you know, I think we all need to remember that in every moment of our day, because we can so easily get bogged down with the pressures of the rat race, really. And if we can just tune into the truth of ourselves, I think we can find so much love and light and laughter within, can we not?
Indeed. And I think the people that are ready for something better than what is presented to us now are looking for souls in any shape or form that come to us that can help us to get onto that path and leave the old ways behind. I think we've had enough of the negativity, the wars and everything else. And as you say, we're ready to move forward. And if these ETs can help us to do that, then they'll be very welcome indeed.
That's right. And I think also that, you know, people have said, what, you know, we've heard all this before and nothing's ever happened. Why should we take notice of this? And my feelings are, and I believe what the Federation has said as well, is that before the vibration on Earth and the number of souls that were awake really wasn't, the vibration wasn't suitable for them to be able to come through. And now that so many people within this quickening time, you know, these days people can, you can be talk out loud about your spirituality and about channeling and all this sort of thing. So many more people have woken up, and through that the vibration has risen. And so therefore they are able to come now, because we as a race have also enlightened the planet to a certain degree that will allow them to be able to come through and merge their vibration that they're bringing through with the one that we've assisted to raise on the planet.
Yes, I feel indeed, inasmuch that you mentioned that they wouldn't come unless we were ready.
Absolutely. I feel, you know, and I think we have to as well trust in the knowledge that they are far more enlightened than, not necessarily than we are, but within our human density as human beings. There's certain aspects of ourselves we're not able to tap into. And I feel that if we really trust that they know what they're doing, and that not only are they far advanced in their technology, but also within themselves, that they know all that is to take place. And as they say over and over to me, they have been planning this for eons and eons of time, and I don't think there's one speck of dust that hasn't been thought about regarding this matter, because it is so huge. They haven't just said, oh, I think we'll pop onto the Earth plane and see what we can do there. It has been planned meticulously, so for our safety as well. For because a lot of people who don't even believe in their existence are going to panic. There is going to be a lot of panic that takes place, and this is why they brought the message through early to for as many people, as I say, to get out there that they are not coming to hurt us in any way. They are here just to bring love. And then they say they are just going to be there for however long it's going to be, I don't know. And this particular time, they will be there, present themselves, that's all, and then they will leave. Because that will be more than enough for this first visit.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, Blossom, it must be some 60 years since we experienced the first saucer flaps on the Earth, that is in the mid to late 40s. So when you think about it, in that period of time, they've shown themselves consistently. The beings themselves have actually been seen or photographed or filmed on Earth. And they have, through various channels, given their messages continually. You mentioned the Ashtar Command. I used to run a group that used to pass their messages around. That was, I think, in the 80s. So people like that, and they came through largely a lady called Chuella in America. They've been doing that for such a long time, and you have to think, if people aren't ready now, they can't really wait any longer.
I agree entirely. And I think as well, they're saying that this will actually, this particular appearance, because it's going to be so vivid, will wake an enormous amount up all at one time. But at the same time, there will be people who see it and then still deny it afterwards, because they simply, their being is not ready to accept it. But on the other hand, as I say, let's look on the positive. I think it is going to wake so many people up, because they're going to see it for themselves, and therefore it's going to trigger off something within them to start them on their soul quest, really, to start them searching within themselves to see, well, there is something out there, what does all that mean then? And get them on their journey, And I think this is one of the main reasons that they're coming.
Yeah, I think the human
race... Isn't it exciting, Mike?
Sorry?
Isn't it exciting?
Oh, absolutely, yes, I agree. There's nothing fearful about it at all. I think you'll agree that the human race generally are very sceptical, and as you've obviously intimated from what you said, there are a lot of people that need proof. This is always what people want, proof. And if they can't see it within this sighting that's going to come up, and you've said quite rightly that some people will still deny it, there's really not a lot more you can do, is there?
No. And I do believe everybody, I believe we're all equal, and that we're all given a choice. And it is each individual's choice on their journey to walk the way they choose. And there is no judgment, I feel, on, nobody has a right to judge anybody else and what they choose to believe. But I sincerely hope that this coming will change our world for the better, because I do feel there are so many people that are still so lost. I think this will allow them to, as I say, to search in their soul and start finding out, how lovely it is to be on the earth plane, if we all allowed it to be so.
Yes. All I hope, Blossom, and I'm sure everybody else hopes the same, including yourself, is that as the days and weeks go by, that if there is any major change to this announcement, that somewhere, preferably yourself, as you took the first channeling, informs people and keeps them updated. I mean, I think that's very important.
Yeah. I have heard through some other channels have said that, the only thing that would stop this from happening is that for our safety, and that there may, not getting too deep into it, that there may be powers that be on our earth plane that may perhaps make it look as if they're defending us. And I really don't, to be honest, don't want feel it's appropriate to go into all of that. But my feeling is, Mike, is that that might happen whenever it is that they're going to come. So we're going to have to deal with it. And I feel that this is, and this is quite a personal thing as well, obviously, that I was saying to them the other day, yesterday I think it was, when I was doing my channeling, that, you know, if they don't show on that date, they are going to lose, so many people will be so like, oh, it's just like every other time. Of course they're not going to show. And I think that would really disappoint the world, if you know what I mean. Yes. And I think this time, this has to be the time that they come. I have no idea, and I never saw it coming that I was going to be the one that was going to make this announcement, believe me. Right. But as the days go on, I just feel in my heart that, yes, you know, this is it. And I just, you know, I think we all have to really put out there and send them love as much as they're sending us love in order for this whole event to take place as smoothly as they have planned it to be.
Yes, yes, indeed. I think we're coming to the end of our conversation. You've covered so much, and you're an excellent talker, as I've no doubt your husband has told you very often.
Yes, I do. I think it's nerves as well that I waffle on a bit.
No, it's been terrific. It makes my job easy. I just have to keep listening and pop a word in here and there. What I'd like you to do before we finally close is to mention about the free messages that people can get of the White Cloud messages. There'll obviously be a lot of people interested in doing that. So could you tell them how that works?
Sorry, do you mean... I'm a bit confused what you mean as to the... When you say of the White Cloud messages, do you mean... I'm not sure what you mean when you say of the free messages of White Cloud.
I gathered from your website that if people subscribe, they can get updates on White Cloud messages.
Yes, I'm with you now. Right, yes, okay. On my website, there is, on the left-hand side, there is a little note there that says if you wish to subscribe to any White Cloud updates. So literally, you just follow instructions, put your email address in, and press the button, and then you are then on my White Cloud update list, so that any once a month, and indeed in these times, if I have the opportunity as things move quickly on into October, then I just send out a newsletter just letting people know of all that's taking place. I did send one out yesterday. I tried to do it at the beginning of each month. But as you can imagine, Mike, as well as trying to update my website in these times, my life within the last month has become extremely busy all of a sudden. So I am trying to keep up with everything and get the information out there as well as I'm able.
That's brilliant. You're doing an excellent job. Now, you'll probably regret this, but you put your email address on your website. There's bound to be people with inquiries. Do you want to give that out on the air, or would you rather leave that for people who visit the website?
Actually, on my website, you can, you know, there's a thing there that to contact us.
Right.
So that's fine, because, I've had... nearly 200 letters from people all over the world, which has been, and out of those, I've only had about 3 nasty ones. And the rest have been just full of encouragement and excitement and love, and it's just been, a fantastic journey so far.
Okay, so do you want to give the email address out now?
Sure. It's I'm trying to think. Do you know why I'm hesitating? Because I'm trying to think what it is. I think you can do it on the info@blossomgoodchild.com.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or it can be bloss@blossomgoodchild.com. Yeah. As I say, it's or there is my my great friend Rick, who has come on board to help me deal with all this years and years ago to help me get the first book out. He's come on board to help me with all this White Cloud stuff, and he there's also, you can contact Rick at blossomgoodchild.com.
Okay.
That's also on the website, and he will deal with a lot of the information.
Fine. A question that probably people would like to put you is, before you emigrated to Australia, where were you living?
My last 8 years was in Hazelmere.
In Surrey, yes.
In Surrey, yes. I was actually brought up in my childhood in Bognor Regis, Sussex. And I lived, from being in the theatre, I lived in many places all over England, but my last 8 years were in Hazelmere, which is just outside of Guildford, and
right.
lovely. I loved it all, but my soul definitely belongs out here in paradise.
Oh, you were born and bred in England.
I was indeed, yes.
And
yes,
I will tell our listeners, because the information is on your website, that you were told when you and your husband decided to emigrate to Australia, that was the place you were meant to be.
That's right. We had no trouble at all getting in, other than the fact that my husband and I were told really that we had to get married, which we hadn't planned on doing because we'd both been married before and didn't want to do it again. But so we had to get married, and other than that, it was just plain sailing. And it's just, I've only been back to England twice in these nearly 8 years now, and just because I just feel so at home here. And when I come to England, I'm a bit like E.T. saying, E.T. phone home, wanting to come back.
You're really an aborigine, I think.
Perhaps so.
Yeah. I mean, just in passing, it's an interesting point. Have you ever found out about any of your sort of previous lives?
Not really, no. White Cloud always says, and I perhaps feel the same, that if there's things in our past lives that are interfering with this life, then he finds it appropriate to go into that and to sort of break some chains, etc. But really, I know my husband and I definitely had one life as Native American Indians. I just feel that very, very strongly. We connect that. And, we know of one other life we had together. And other than that, I don't really know. I mean, I think with everybody, we've all had so many past lives, we're just sort of each time, experiencing another aspect of ourselves, each journey we have.
Now, another question I think that might arise, and so I'll ask you while you're still here, is I get the distinct impression that when you do your readings, it's on a one-to-one basis, and therefore you do not do postal readings, because some people might be interested in that.
Thank you very much for that, Mike. Yes, and I don't do phone readings either. It's just White Cloud's not up with all the modern technology. It's just, I have tried before to do absent readings with a photograph and things like that, but I have to be honest, I have found that it just wasn't very accurate, and we weren't able to pick up on the energy properly. And so, no, thank you for that. I'm not able to do readings either that way or over the phone. But thank you for bringing that up, because a lot of people have asked recently, you know, in America and things, could I do readings over the phone? But I've had to say no.
Now, as your fame spreads, I feel you will undoubtedly get invited to talk in different countries. Can you envisage that you would entertain some sort of tour somewhere across the world?
Well, funnily enough, Mike, this is, I haven't had a reading for a long time, but I maybe go for a reading once a year just to get a take on what's happening with me. And I've been told this for many, many years that this is what I would be doing. But until recent events, I couldn't really see it. Oh, whereas now I'm beginning, it's all these things that I've been sort of said, this will happen in the future, you know, you will be doing this, you will be doing that. Now suddenly it's all slotting into place and I think, oh, well, that would make sense of that, you know. So, and I do, I don't know, I think we all know in our hearts what we're meant to be doing, and if indeed that is what I'm meant to be doing, and to assist in the most humblest way, I mean this, but to assist the planet in waking people up and helping them to understand about a way to live life that feels so good, then, you know, of course I would be honoured to do so.
Yes. I can see you eventually having your own spacecraft and your own crew, and that will make your world tour a little bit easier.
I think that'd be a really excellent idea. I hadn't thought of that, but I shall start working on it today.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're a wonderful lady, Blossom, and I'm so pleased to be possibly the first one to interview you since you issued your message. And it's very enlightening to talk to you about your background and your own views about what is taking place. And I can see you're a very loving, spiritual person, and I think you're going to do a fantastic lot of good for everyone. So I must thank you for coming onto the program. Thank you very much indeed. I'll just mention in passing that when I do an archive write-up for BBS, I will put your website address and any other important information for anybody who's missed it. So thank you very much.
And Mike, may I say a big, big thank you to you for all your support with your emails over the last couple of weeks, and indeed for inviting me onto the program, because this is how we're going to get the message that they're asking, how we're going to get that message out. So from my heart, I say thank you to you very much, and for all the work that you do for the planet also. Thank you very much, Mike.
As they say, we're all in this together.
We certainly are.
Yeah.
So if I go down, you go down with me. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Blossom. Thank you very much. Well, although this is a pre-recorded program, it will lose none of its energy, I think, and its impact when it comes out. So what I will say is, looking ahead, that the week after this program actually goes out, I will have a guest called J.M. Harrison, who I don't know too much about at this stage because I'm waiting to get some information. But if you keep in touch with the program details on BBS Radio, you'll find out in due course. And, of course, those people that are on my subscribers list for my weekly or three times weekly messages will be informed in due course anyway. So thank you, everyone, for being with me. I'm sure you're like me. You thoroughly enjoy that. So thank you again. Hope you can be with me over the next few weeks. And I'll say God bless you all. Thank you very much.